Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to NBC Sports Philadelphia. The guests you want to hear from. The Phillies information you need. It's At the Yard.
Hello and welcome back to At the Yard. I'm Corey Seibin alongside former Philly Ricky Bitalico. We're presented by Deborah Heart and Lung Center. If it's your heart, demand Deborah. Visit demanddeborah.org. So today we want to talk about how the Phillies have just run out of gas. There was Tuesday's doubleheader, which was ugly in every way. The Phillies had a catastrophe in Game 2 when it looked like they were going to salvage a split. So, Ricky, I want to start by asking you, what is the main reason that you've seen that this team has run out of gas here in September?
I think starting pitching has masked a lot of things throughout the season. It is held up for the most part until about a month ago. And I think you look at the number 3, 4, 5 spots have really kind of dwindled here as of late. But, I mean, in the long run, I think a lot of people would look at it and say, well, it's all about the offense. Well, they weren't doing the job at the beginning of the year. And who was doing the job was a starting pitcher. So, I mean, there's only one way to look at things. You were living and dying by starting pitching, and it finally, you know, shattered you in the last month. And it's been ugly. There's no doubt about it. It's been ugly because the one thing is it opens up, you know, different cans of things. Like you look at the offense and you say to yourself, wait a minute, what was going on? Was the offense not scoring? What was going on earlier in the season? No, it's been about the same. I mean, when you really look at it, it's been about the same. With the exception is they're not even hitting. They're not even scoring runs at home now.
Right.
That's a little bit of a bother. But I still think it's all about the starting pitching.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half of the season, the Phillies had more of a margin for error because they were getting strong starts from everybody on the staff. Nick Pivetta was really good in April and May. Vince Velasquez had a couple good months there early. Zach Eflin, when he came up, the first full month he was the Phillies' most reliable starting pitcher. But, I mean, I'm looking at these second-half stats. Scott Kingery, 198 with a 225 OBP.
Hardly even playing.
Odubel Herrera, 219 with a 288 OBP. Asdrubal Cabrera, 233. Cesar Hernandez, 233 with an OBP of 332, which is okay, but it's not what you expect from the guy leading off, you know, at the top of your order. So the second half, the Phillies' reliable offensive contributors have been Rhys Hoskins, Carlos Santana, and Wilson Ramos. I guess Michael Franco to a certain extent as well, but the playing time's been divvied up in a very strange way because of all the guys that were added at the trade deadline. And I kind of just look at natural regression. I mean, we expected that guys like Nick Pivetta, Vince Velasquez, Zach Eflin were going to regress because they haven't had a full major league season under their belt. They haven't thrown 200 innings yet. And the same can be said offensively. You know, for some of these Phillies players who had good first halves, like Michael Franco, yes, he's impressed this season. But when he's exposed over the course of a week, I mean, yeah, he's hitting 268, an OBP of 311 with some power. But nobody's been able to carry this offense.
Talking 268. Other guys that go catch fire, it's like they have a two-week period of 400. And we're not seeing that from these Phillies guys. We're seeing guys, if they catch fire, it's a 300 week. That's not catching fire. That is having a good week. I mean, I think that's the thing that when I look at the Phillies right now, has to change next year. Something has to change, whether it be you go out and get both. I don't care, because I think that's what it's coming down to, is that I think the Phillies have to make a push for both Machado and Harper.
They need so much offense.
Really try to pull these both these guys in. Now, the other thing is, and I kind of want to get your take on this too, since we're in this together. Well, you know, the one thing I've been pushing for, and I said that it's going to come back to haunt them, is they're going to have to play some small ball. I said it in June. You know, if they're going to win this division, there's going to be – can this change? Because you look at other teams, they do it. They can do it. Every other team, we saw the Brewers do it a bunch of times. But the only time I could remember the Phillies doing anything was against the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was – I forgot who was pitching, but whoever it was did not hold on base runners. And it was that simple. But, I mean, hitting and running, stealing bases, it may have become a lost art in analytics, but it can't become a lost art on the field. It just can't anymore.
Unfortunately, I just don't think that that's ever going to change when Gabe Kapler and Matt Klentak are here. That's not their philosophy. And Gabe Kapler said a couple times this season, I remember asking him after the Noah Syndergaard game when they stole second base five times, he said, look, we're not going to start being more aggressive on the base paths. We don't believe in running into outs on the bases. And when you mentioned the analytical component of it, that is why we see so many fewer stolen bases these days, because an out made on the bases is so much worse than the positive gain from a stolen base, at least mathematically. And that's the way that this team operates in a lot of different ways. I don't think we're going to see them play small ball. And that's the issue, because they want to play this patient power game where you walk a lot and you hit a lot of homers. But what that means is that when you're not walking,
you better have those guys that can hit the ball to the park.
Exactly. You better have Bryce Harper if you want to do that, a guy who leads the league in walks and can lead the league in homers. Right now, the Phillies have Rhys Hoskins who can hit you 30.
Right.
They have Carlos Santana who can hit you 25 and walk a lot, but the rest of this offense isn't really built for that model.
Now, I know they're going to bring up, well, all these guys could hit 20-plus home runs. That's going to be the whole thing that at the end of the year we're going to hear. But, I mean, to me, all these guys that are close to 20 or have hit 20, they're very scattered. It's like those guys get hot, they hit three or four in a week, and then you don't hear from them for a month. I mean, that to me is not a home run hitter. That is somebody who gets streaky and gets what? You know, 10 out of 20 good at-bats. That's not going to help in the future.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I looked at Rhys Hoskins in that regard. He has 30 homers, but he's gone 10 different weeks this season, a full week, 7 days, 10 different times when he hasn't hit a homer. When he hits them in bunches, and then he goes into these long lulls. And it's so true that for most of the season, it's been, okay, Rhys gets hot, he hits five homers in the course of five games. Then Franco gets hot, he hits three in three games or something like that. But it's nothing consecutively. And then you look at a team like the Braves, who enter Wednesday night with a 6.5-game advantage, season best for Atlanta in the division. Three players in that lineup would probably be the most dynamic hitter in the Phillies lineup right now. Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, Ronald Acuna.
That's what scares me for the future, because that team you're going to be going up against for years to come. And you're talking about Albies, Acuna, you're talking about Freddie Freeman, still Markakis going to be there. That team's only going to get better. They're going to add pitching and get better. And they have some pretty good pitchers already.
And they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. So the Braves are going to be a long-term success story.
Doesn't that bother you a little bit?
It does.
Considering even if you go out, well, I guess it makes it more important that they have to get at least one of those two big free agents.
I think that John Middleton's going to look at it, and Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail are going to look at it. Yeah, the Braves are going to be good for a while now, but if the Nationals are losing pieces, they're not as much of a threat. You know the Marlins and Mets right now aren't threats, so this is the offseason to strike. I mean, we all expected that it was going to be 2019 when the Phillies spent money, and now when you look at the context of the league, it makes even more sense.
But you have to wonder, who are the Phillies? Who are they right now? I mean, seriously, I'm being honest. You know, we watched this team for 4 months play really decent, I would say decent baseball, because I didn't think they were playing great. I don't think you thought they were playing great. I think the competition wasn't as good in their division. They have not played well against the East to start with.
Which
That's
is
something
a major
you have
problem.
To do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe that has something to do with Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio Gonzalez. I mean, you have DeGrom, Syndergaard.
Fultonevich.
Yeah, I mean,
your boy.
Fultonevich. I mean, there's a lot of good starters, and what does that tell us? Is this team going to get better, or is it just going to be a complete overhaul next year, which I'm kind of thinking that might be part of it. I think they learned a lot about who could play in the big leagues this year and who cannot.
So you mentioned a lot of starting pitchers and some high-priced ones at that. The Phillies brought in Jake Arrieta this past offseason, $25 million a year. Very interesting season for Arrieta. You don't hear as many loud screams from Phillies fans the way that there are with Carlos Santana. It seems like a large portion of the fan base dislikes the Santana signing. He's making $20 million a year. With Arrieta, there hasn't been overwhelming support or overwhelming criticism. And you look at his numbers now, 28 starts into his season, 10-9, a 3.66 ERA, about a 2-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, his opponents have hit 2.46. How would you assess his season? Has he had a good season?
Adequate. I wouldn't go any further either way. Look, you know what? It's not my money being spent, so I can't look at him as a $25 million bill going out there and pitching. That's not the way you're supposed to do things.
Right.
You're supposed to look at it and say, all right, is he putting up numbers that a legitimate major league pitcher would in number two slot? The answer is yes. Is he putting up dominant numbers? No.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, since everybody else does it, if you take away June, I believe it was June, with the 6.66 ERA,
yeah.
I think his season looks a lot different to everybody.
Sure, it does.
And to go a little further, why people don't get on him, and you feel Santana's getting the I guess he gets the brunt.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe it has more to do that we hear from Arrieta all the time. Whether it's good, bad,
interesting,
he speaks out. How many times have you actually heard from Santana this year?
Interesting. I mean, Santana is a quiet guy. It's not that he like evades, you know, talking to the public.
People
after a
don't
want to
know. People don't want to know players that sit in the corner. They don't want to know them. The fan base thinks they know Jake Arrieta,
right,
and how he is. Regardless of if he rubs you the right way or rubs you the wrong way, he speaks.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered that. I think that's there's some accuracy there. And I also think the other thing is that Arrieta only, you know, plays once every 5 days, whereas Santana, when he's struggling, it can be 3-4 days in a row.
Right. But also a perfect example, look at Rhys Hoskins. How many times has he gone in big slump? He was just in a huge slump.
Big time, yeah.
Did you hear anybody getting on him?
Quietly.
Very quietly,
Rhys,
right?
Rhys is kind of... He's,
why?
Rhys
because
is kind
he's of, the leader. He's the spokesman.
He's the leader. He's kind of like not the same skill set or anything, but he's kind of like the Chase Utley of this team, where it's going to be very difficult for fans to turn on Rhys Hoskins.
I'm just telling you, I've been here for a long period of time. I played with some guys that were very mediocre players but told the truth about what was going on, and people loved them. I mean, you know, you look at players and you say, wow, why is this guy so loved? Oh, because he's always talking. Because mm-hmm. he'll say what they, not necessarily what they want to hear, but what they're thinking. And it's very simple. And I look at Rhys Hoskins and I say to myself, I think he's burning himself out because I think he's taking too much responsibility right now for the team.
100%.
But I will say this much, at least he's there. At least he's there. You can't say that for Santana. I mean, how about Odubel? What? Why do people get on him?
I'm sure we'll get to him.
That's
at some
not
point
necessarily,
today.
But that's not necessarily communicable. I think that's more because he does so many
head scratching,
mind-boggling things.
Yeah.
On the field. That I mean, last night he had an 0-1 count. And he stepped out of the box.
Right.
I mean, what?
In the press box, some of us were just, "What are you doing?" That, I mean, there are too many of those moments.
These are just points that I'm throwing out there that constantly happen with this team. And something has to change.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe some of these things are really starting to be glaring issues that John Middleton's not going to turn his back on.
Well, Gabe Kapler talked in spring training about how the goal was for this team to prepare relentlessly, communicate relentlessly, be ready for anything.
Right.
And there have been too many situations where it looked like guys haven't been thinking one step ahead. Okay, if the ball comes to me, I'm going to do this with it. Or, you know, whether it's on the bases or in the field. My last point I wanted to make with Arrieta, I think that his final couple starts will clear up this picture of whether it was a good or bad season, but I look at the fact that in August and September, the Phillies have lost 5 of his 7 starts. This was the time of year when you really hoped and expected that Jake Arrieta right. was going to be able to step up, and there have been too many of these clunkers lately. I also look at the fact that in 6 starts this season against the Marlins and Padres, the Phillies are 3-3 in those games, and Arrieta struggled twice against the Padres, twice against the Marlins. Those are teams he has no business scuffling against.
All right, but I have to say this. If you watched him pitch last year, he's doing nothing differently.
He's not. It's very, very similar.
So what do you – what? I mean, look, I think people – the people who are disappointed in him are the people that are thinking that he was going to come over here and be Cy Young.
Yes.
That's not what I saw the last 2 years really out of him.
And the Phillies, you know, to your point that it's not a price tag you're looking at, it's the performance on the field. They paid him $25 million a year because they wanted it to be a shorter deal.
Right.
It's a 3-year deal. If they would have gone 5 years, the annual average value would probably have been lower. Arrieta lingered in free agency, and the Phillies looked at it, hey, we need a starting pitcher. This guy's still out there. Why not get him? And the last point I just want to make is that it's all about perspective, because Cubs fans all season have been hammering their front office for not re-signing Jake Arrieta
right.
and bringing in the disaster that Yu Darvish has been.
Yu Darvish has been a disaster.
Yeah. Moving on here, I just want to get your thought on the one Philly this season who has so far exceeded your expectations that he's kind of changed the conversation about his future. Is there anybody that sticks out to you?
You know, there's not a ton. The first guy that would come to mind is Rhys. But I mean, Rhys, I think he's right at expectations. I think he's right what people thought. I mean, people put him on a pedestal, and he stepped up. Whether it be very streaky-wise or not, he stepped up. But I think a guy like Sir Anthony Dominguez, pretty much off the radar,
mm-hmm.
has stepped in and has shown that he could pitch at the big league level. I mean, that's in reality what your first year is. You will have flashes of dominance, which he had. And the reason for that, nobody knew him. Nobody knew what he was bringing to the table. All of a sudden he comes to the table And now everybody knows his repertoire. Everybody knows everything about him. It makes it a little tougher to pitch. You have to make adjustments. He's learning to make adjustments right now. I think he's been unfairly put into certain situations on this ball club. But I will say, for the most part, he has opened eyes. And that's what it's all about, showing 100-mile-an-hour fastball with very good movement on both sides of the plate, especially early on in the season. I think he's opened eyes.
Yeah, and even if Sir Anthony Dominguez is not a closer long-term, he looks like he's going to be a very good late-inning reliever. And even though things have gotten bad here in the second half for Dominguez, or at least not as good as they were in the first half.
They've gotten average, average.
Right, it has been a true emergence. And the Phillies had no idea what they were going to get out of Sir Anthony Dominguez in 2018. This was his first full season even relieving, you know, so it's been very impressive. I would have to go Aaron Nola. I know that the expectations for him were high entering this season, but he still so far exceeded them. And it's kind of difficult to remember this, but last year, Aaron Nola, his opponents hit 50 points higher than they've hit this season. That is a massive, massive difference. He has a 196 opponents batting average this year compared to 241 last year. His ERA almost a run and a half lower. His whip's lower. His strikeout rate has increased. All four of his pitches have gotten better.
He's Iceman.
He's always been Iceman. The guy, it seems like he has no pulse, but I mean, the fastball velocity with his four seamers only increased. The two seamer has as good of movement as we've ever seen. The curveball he had from day one, and the changeup has also made him more effective versus lefties. Aaron Nola, I expect him to be really good this year. I didn't expect him to be one of the five best pitchers in baseball.
How about the last couple starts for him? What are you starting to think?
I think that the home runs, he had gone, what? Like
eight,
50.
He had eight home runs going into. He had given up eight home runs through August, and he's given up five since in
right.
Two starts.
And he, before he gave up those five homers in those two starts, had allowed two in his previous 12 games.
That's crazy.
That's just something that doesn't sustain over the full season. That's,
well, or he's getting a little tired.
Fly balls are going to travel over the wall eventually. And also, I mean, one of those games was against the Cubs, and the three homers that were hit were by Daniel Murphy, Javier Baez, and Anthony Rizzo.
Some pretty good players.
Who have hit a ton of home runs.
Right.
So. I don't really fault
Aaron Nola.
I think
he only gave up four runs in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, four runs, three of them on solo homers.
Unbelievable.
So, okay, the opposite end of that spectrum, which Philly has felt fallen short of expectations to the point that you now worry about his future either with this team or elsewhere?
Well, I think Odubel Herrera. I mean, look, turning a corner is one thing at the big league level. I think the way he started off the first 2 months of the season, you're thinking this guy's going to carry this team for the whole season, and then he just disappears. I mean, literally just disappears. But not only offensively. I think defensively he really disappeared. And you know what? When it became really glaring to me is when Roman Quinn came up and he started playing a little center field. And his routes to the ball compared to Odubel, it starts to make it very easy to compare what a good outfielder does and what a very nonchalant
right.
outfielder.
That was a glimpse of like an elite defensive center fielder and what that can bring to a team.
But Odubel's not my only one. I think he's top of the list. I think Aaron Altair.
Aaron Altair?
Really
yeah.
took a bunch of steps back.
Opening day five-hole hitter, a guy that had a really good season last year, OPS over 800, 20 homers, and now he's kind of fallen out of the picture here. I wonder if he's even going to be back next season
as
a fourth outfielder.
He can't be in plans anymore.
I would go Cesar Hernandez because he had 294 each of the last two seasons. He's hitting 258 this season,
yeah.
40 points lower. He has 12 fewer extra base hits this season in 15 more games than he played last season. The power's just completely disappeared, and he's gone on what feels like a three-month run here of doing very little. It's why Gabe Kapler was forced to eventually move him out of the leadoff spot.
Once again, I mean, Cesar is the type of guy that just, he goes by the wayside. No, nobody, and whether he's doing good, whether he's doing bad, does anybody notice? I mean, think about it. You notice because you crunch numbers.
Right.
But do you really notice? I mean, I saw him have a couple good at-bats last night. It almost seems like you grade him for that night and that night only because he's been around so long that he's almost like a statue to people. And I think a lot of people feel like he's a statue that's in the way of moving some other players around.
Since April 26th, so this is his last 120 games, Cesar Hernandez, 248 hitter.
Brutal.
It's almost 60 points lower than he hit
last two seasons. How many guys on this team have really hit much better?
Yeah, there haven't been many. But the reason that I also point out Hernandez is because the future aspect of this conversation. The Phillies have had opportunities the last two off seasons to shop Cesar Hernandez, and they have, and they haven't found a suitable return, so they've kept him here. But now with Scott Kingery signed long-term, with Michael Franco looking like he could be a part of your future based on what he did this season, this does seem like the opportune time to move on from Cesar Hernandez. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Phillies would be selling him at his lowest point, but I just don't see how they can give this guy, you know, he's going to go into another arbitration year this upcoming offseason. And it's going to be about $7 to $7.5 million.
It's not worth it. It's time for him to go. It's time for it to take a bite out of everything and let Santana go.
Yeah, I think that the point you just made a little bit earlier is so true, that this season, even if things don't work out for the Phillies, which it looks like it's trending in that direction, they saw in this second half who is and is not capable of contributing to a contending team.
So a little pressure on them.
If this team was 30 games under 500 in the second half, it would have been impossible to evaluate who should stay and who should go, because they would have been performing under very little pressure.
You know, it's pretty sad. Just a month ago, we're talking about definitely winning the division, or at least running into the last few days of the season. Now we're starting to talk about third place, and now we're starting to talk about possibly being under 500.
That's just incredible. I mean, again, it's all perspective, because if I said to you on March 25th, the Phillies are going to be 74-70 with...
I said 84 wins.
I had 83-79. Yeah, yeah, you had 84.
I mean, we're going to be close. We're going
to
be right around
but
there.
It would have sounded, okay, yeah, that's reasonable. It's just the path you take to get there, and that's why so many fans have just gotten so frustrated with this team.
You know why? Because expectation. I said this at the beginning of June. Expectations change. This team went from a team that was supposed to be so-so and border around 500, which I guess everybody comes back to reality, and mm-hmm. maybe this team just came back to reality. But when you start playing as well, I wouldn't even say they were playing well. When your record starts to show vast improvement, you better stay on that pace. And that's the Phillies tried to do that with the trade deadline. It just didn't work.
Right.
It went back. It backfired on.
Yeah, this season reminded me a lot of 2006 with the Phillies, when they brought in all those veterans after the
backfired.
Jeff Conine, Randall Simon, yep. You know, got Jose Hernandez. Obviously, that 06 team had a lot more of a foundation with Rollins, Utley, et cetera. So we've talked a ton about Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, guys like that. We haven't heard as much about the free agent pitching, starting pitching class this upcoming winter. So coming up on At the Yard, we're going to take a look at whether the Phillies should pay premium bucks this offseason to bring in another starting pitcher to slot behind Aaron Nola and Jake Arrieta. That's next after this health tip from Deborah Heart and Lung Center.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is At the Yard, the podcast.
We're back here on At the Yard. I'm Corey Seibin along with Ricky Vitalico, and we're going to look now at the 2018-19 starting pitcher free agent class. You know, we've talked so much about Machado, Harper, that elite tier of position players, but it's been pretty apparent in these final 2 months that the Phillies don't have enough in the starting rotation, at least to hang their hat on moving forward, the inconsistencies of guys like Pivetta, Eflin, and Velasquez. So you look at this free agent class, and the names that stick out to me the most, three lefties, Patrick Corbin on the Diamondbacks, Jay Happ of the Blue Jays, Dallas Keuchel of the Houston Astros. Ricky, do any of these guys stick out to you as pitchers the Phillies should pursue this winter?
You know, I could see maybe a Corbin. I really could. I also, look, there's a guy in L.A. that may be able to opt out of his contract.
Who's that?
That's Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Sitting there thinking about, I mean, he's made enough money in the game, right? I mean, the way you have to look at it, he'd opt out of 2 years, $65 million,
yeah.
I believe. But when you do that, he's going to make more wherever he goes. So why wouldn't you opt out at this point? So I think that actually may be a viable solution.
And I think
I would love to see. Can you see Nola Arrieta Kershaw, I'd be pretty happy with
what
that.
What a dream scenario that
because
would
be. Because I don't think they'd be looking for more than one. I think it's going to be a number three or a two, and you move Arrieta as you would. And Clayton Kershaw would step in right at the top and move Nola to two and then Arrieta three.
So not to rain on that potential parade, but I just don't see it. Because
why not?
Because first off, Clayton Kershaw hasn't had a fully healthy season. So if he does opt out, there's not that 100% chance that he's going to get a better deal. I do think that if he were to opt out, the Phillies would absolutely be in on the race because he's an elite-level pitcher. That's a guy worth changing your philosophy with free agents for. And I also think the Phillies could get creative. I've said this in regard to Bryce Harper, too. They could get creative and offer like 2 years, $80 million, give you $40 million a year over a shorter annual value so that you're not crippling yourself long-term. But with me, Patrick Corbin is the one guy in this market who is worth paying a lot of money for. I mean, this season, he's a guy who's had Tommy John in his past. This is the best season of his career. A 3 ERA. He struck out 223 batters in 180 innings. Good against lefties, good against righties. I like the fact that he's been able to have success throughout his career in hitter-friendly Chase Field in Arizona. That bodes well for if he were to make a move to Citizens Bank Park.
He wasn't as hitter-friendly this year.
For sure. The Phillies also have needed left-handed pitchers for years, both in the rotation and the bullpen. This would finally offer a different look.
It definitely would. I mean, it would be a good look. We brought up two names. Jay Happ is always out there, too. And you think about Jay Happ. He's already been here. He's familiar with the city. The one thing I love about Happ, nothing really gets under his skin. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that. He's went to the Yankees. He's pitched very well as a New York Yankee since he's gone over there. And he's not a reclamation project, which is always nice. That's the last thing the Phillies want to get into, I think, right now. I think that's all done.
You know, the very painful thing about reclamation projects is that the Phillies brought in two consecutive years, Charlie Morton and Clay Buchholz. Both of them got hurt immediately with the Phillies. Both of them have found tremendous success with their next team.
Yeah.
Buchholz this season with the Diamondbacks, Charlie Morton with the Astros. Charlie Morton, by the way, another guy who's a free agent. I think a lot of teams
He's not going to want to leave Houston. I think he's one of those guys when he finds a comfy place and it's very cushy for him, I think he should stay there. I think that's one of those things. Look, coming back here would not help him. He came here for that 1 year. What, he had one start? Two starts, maybe?
Two starts, I think.
And then that was it? No, not the time or the place for him to come back.
Some painful memories. I don't think
that would be very good.
Now, with Corbin, he's 29 years old. You don't see
3 years.
You don't see starting pitchers too often elite starting pitchers reach free agency at that age anymore. I mean, a lot of times you're paying for 32-year-old guys. I think Patrick Corbin's going to get like $100 million. I think that, you know, you look at Yu Darvish got $126 million over 6 years.
Well, it depends. You know, you see, here's the confusing thing is with analytics and everything that's going on, where is the pace starting? I mean, we saw it with Arrieta last year. He thought he was going to get $100 million from somebody.
He was going to get $150.
Right.
Yeah.
He picked up 75 from the Phillies, whatever he picked up. I think that's going to be the more go-to, especially with a guy that's 29 years old. Do you really want to go to the 5 years that puts him at 34 years old? Or almost 35 years old at the end of the contract? Probably not these days.
The only reason I think it could happen with Corbin is because he's the best pitcher on the market, and a lot of times that best guy gets
usually
paid and then everything you know, shakes out.
Well, I mean, you could say he's
there.
The best, but I mean, look at what Cole Hamels is doing right now.
Cole Hamels. We got to talk about him. He can opt out of his – or he has a $20 million mutual option on his deal, so it's, you know –
probably not.
Impossible to believe that he will be picked up next season. Been amazing with the Cubs, 4-0, 1.42 ERA in 8 starts. Now, preceding that move to the Cubs, he was absolutely awful with the Rangers, and a lot of people look at that and say, oh, well, he just needed to move to the National League. He needed to move to a pennant race. I don't think it's that simple. I think there's other things that go into it. And I'm not sure that if the Phillies were to sign Cole Hamels next year to a one-year deal, I don't think they'd be getting this second-half Cole Hamels with the Cubs. They'd probably be getting a pitcher in between. They'd probably be getting closer to a 4 ERA.
Most likely. I think, obviously, Cole moves, and I think he's playing way above his head right now. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, he is good. He's a good guy to have around for a pennant race. Do I think he's going to be the move? No, because I think the Phillies would have already made a point to go after him at the trade deadline.
100%. Yeah, if they were interested in him, they would have made a push.
They were interested in Jay Happ.
It didn't take the Cubs a lot to get Hamels.
Right.
And that's very true. And the thing that I really like about Happ is that throughout his career, if you remember his early days here, He had trouble throwing strikes at times. That problem is by the wayside. This season, especially with the Yankees, 9 walks in nearly 50 innings. The walks have decreased. The strikeout race is at a strikeout rate this season, all-time high. Swing and miss rate, all-time high. This is a guy who seems
right
to be getting better in his mid-30s.
Tell you right now, back in the day, he had a Bugs Bunny changeup. I mean, I saw him when he was first coming up through the minor leagues. I was doing the Iron Pigs games back then. That dude had the nastiest changeup, and I used to ask hitters, they're like, can't see it. It looked like it was a fastball until it was already swung at.
And his arm angle has always been deceptive, releases the ball right around his ear, the hitter doesn't get
just
to
look,
see it.
Doesn't he look like a hitter that should, or a pitcher that should get lit up every time out?
Yeah, there's some guys like that, that they have like a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, and they can get away with it because of the sneakiness, yeah. So for me, in terms of value, you could probably get Jay Happ on a 2-year deal, like 2 years, $30 million, something like that.
Right.
So it's going to be a lot less crippling long term than signing a Patrick Corbin. I think Corbin's in a different class than Jay Happ. But I'll tell you what, if the Phillies sign Jay Happ this offseason, that's not going to be disappointing.
I think that would be the most reasonable move that the Phillies could make. Throw in a lefty.
Yep.
He's a good lefty, and you'd probably get him on the cheap.
And you can get, you know, slot him in behind Nolan Arrieta. If he makes 32 starts in a season, 20 of them are going to be quality starts, if not a couple more. And that's different. That's more reliability than the Phillies have from that Pivetta, Eflin, Velasquez tier.
No doubt in my mind. They definitely need one more starting pitcher. I think we both agree on that.
All right, well, about 2.5 weeks left in the season, and that's going to do it for today's At the Yard with Ricky Batalico. I'm Corey Seidman. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to At the Yard on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Be sure to subscribe to At the Yard wherever you listen to podcasts.